Chapter 10. Zara. Another day dawns on Tarsus, heavy gray clouds belying the unreasonable warmth, thawing the winter air. Fear seems present in every corner of the city, yet the populace remains productive. Soldiers patrol the streets in greater numbers, compelled by General Moore, while work parties gather up raw materials, preparing the defenses for what the masses know is coming. Standing amid the ruins of the Pillar of Radiance, I stare out at the wreckage before me with forced stoicism, my face a careful mask. To everyone around me, I must appear like the quintessential mage, reserved, impassive, cold. Inside, however, my soul is in turmoil, my emotions raging like a storm. More than 2,000 people have been reported dead or missing, many of them I knew. Great scholars and mages and stewards. Absently rubbing my talisman, I watch a group of men struggle to load chunks of stone into a wagon. My heavy heart dwells on those who'd perished in the tower's fall. Kendrick Wynne, Edric Tell, and the other members of the Circle. Evoker Laramie, Richard Dawes. The last two hurt more than the others. Richard had been a steward in training, stationed in the great library beneath the tower. He was unassuming and kind, a true friend when I had few, and helped me uncover the Harbinger plot when I was a newly raised mage. When the Heart of Light exploded and the Pillar of Radiance collapsed, he'd have been below in the library, crushed to death by a deluge of broken stones. Did he feel pain, I wonder? Grimacing at the thought. Light, I wish I could have seen him one last time. I wish I could have told him how much his friendship meant to me. And Evoker Laramie, a kind soul, right up to the end. He only ever looked out for the well-being of the kingdom. Taking me under his wing, I had enjoyed much learning and training from him during my days at the academy, not one to shirk from a scholarly conversation or a barrage of my questions. He never held me back. Instead, he encouraged me in my aspirations. How I'll miss his kindness and the knowledge he brought to the mages. I pray to the light that their souls rest in peace, and their endings had been quick and with little pain. Pushing down the sorrow, I replace my talisman and follow some workers to the base of the Pillar of Radiance. It's now little more than a wide circle of debris, with large chunks of masonry sticking haphazardly from the torn and damaged ground. A cluster of mages stands amidst the rubble, staring determinedly at the wide chasm. They glance up as I approach, a few recognizing me with respectful nods.
Seeker, one of them acknowledges me grimly.
Greetings, I reply. Has the excavation begun on the great library?
Yes, Seeker,
a man with short cropped hair answers. He appears to be in his mid-40s, with a fringe of gray at his temples.
We've cleared a path, and the support beams are now in place. We were just preparing a team to go down and start finding and retrieving books from the safe zones. Elizabeth here will be organizing the books in stations.
He gestures at an older woman standing nearby, then at a pavilion where tables are being erected. Elizabeth nods in agreement. Seeker, you can come with me. I follow her, pulling on a set of gloves. The books are to be handled with great care, she says. There's no telling what sort of damage these precious works have sustained, and it's imperative that we preserve everything we can. Yes, I agree. Of course. I want to get an idea of what we're dealing with, she goes on, pulling her silver hair into a ponytail to keep it out of her eyes. You and I will accompany the first team into the library. I'll mark off sections that our volunteers can bring up, and we'll go from there. I follow her to the cavernous entrance. Torches are prepared, and mage fire is ignited. The first team's making their way down into the ruined library, picking their way carefully through the wreckage. As I feared, A majority of the underground chamber is buried, the ceiling having completely caved in. Pockets exist where the structure remains intact, creating bubbles of safety, but they are few and far between. Even there, no one was able to survive. Now and then I see a body or a limb half buried in the rubble. In truth, my purpose in coming here isn't just to rescue books, but to search for something, anything, that can aid me in my mission. Now that I'm down here, climbing beneath a mountain of debris, I can't help but feel that it's a hopeless task. As I pick my way through to one of the dark, crumbling chambers, I cast a ball of mage fire to give us more light. So much knowledge, I think, examining a bookshelf that's been reduced to splinters. So much history lost. Brushing aside the dust, I pick up the remains of a leather-bound book, the spine smashed and many of its pages torn. It's a volume of poetry, a collection of works written in an elegant, flowing script. Tarnished though it may be, it's still beautiful, so I tuck it under my arm. Glancing around, I can see many more books amid the detritus. Even in this tiny section of the library, there must be hundreds of them. Sighing, I begin sifting through the nearest pile, knowing full well that it's going to be a long, wearisome day. Many lengthy hours pass, and it seems like we haven't even put a dent in salvaging the enormous library. Sweaty and covered in dust, I climb out of the ruins for perhaps the 100th time and suck in a deep breath of fresh air. Light almighty, I think as I make my way to the pavilion, a bundle of filth-covered books cradled in my arms. This is exhausting, and there's still so much that needs to be done. Behind me, the sounds of chisels and shifting rubble rise from below, the teams carefully removing bits of the caved-in ceiling. Even after a full day of work, we've only managed to clear out a small section of the chamber, large portions still hopelessly buried. A pair of concerned-looking stewards rush up to me as I approach, accepting the books and placing them with the others neatly arrayed on the ground.
"You shouldn't push yourself so hard, Seeker," one of them says, a bald, older man in crisp white robes. The other scurries off to a nearby book-cleaning station. "It's dangerous work, even with the supports in place."
I nod, dabbing my forehead with a sleeve. "I think I'm done for the day," I reply. "There's certainly more work, but I'm not sure I'd survive another trip." The steward chuckles, but his smile doesn't reach his eyes. I look down at the rows of books. They appear to be organized alphabetically by title, their covers having been dusted and scoured clean. "Is there anything here on artifice by chance?" I direct my question to Elizabeth, who has her head bowed in concentration over a large tome. "I'm particularly interested in anything dating back to the Doom." It takes her a moment to reply, shooting me an already disapproving look.
"There are a few volumes, I think, but they're still in pretty bad shape. We'll need to go through them page by page, document the damage we find, and clean the paper to prevent any further deterioration."
"Will you please allow one of the stewards to box them up for me?" I venture to ask. "I'd like them sent to the academy for study." She hesitates.
"I'm not certain that's wise, Seeker. It's more imperative that they're cleaned as soon as possible. Not that I don't think you'll take care of them, mind you. My concern is merely for their preservation."
"This request isn't for idle fancy."
"I understand that, Seeker," she replies, now plastering on a wooden smile. "But my responsibility is to make sure these books are properly cared for. We've lost so much already. I'd be remiss if we lost anything else."
I straighten, adopting a look that would have made the late High Magus and Arch Magister proud.
"Your concern is noted, Elizabeth. But my needs are the needs of the kingdom. They take priority.
The knowledge contained in those books could prove vital to our survival as a species.
She opens her mouth to protest, but I cut her off.
Of course we can always get the Circle involved. I'm sure Magister Roth will see the wisdom in my procurement of these texts, though I doubt he'll be pleased with being bothered by something so minor.
She glances down at the books and back at me, conflict written across her features. Then she bows her head, slightly deflating.
Yes, yes, of course. I'll have them boxed up for you right away.
Thank you, I reply with a curt nod. I'll be leaving at once for the academy. Please have them sent to my quarters there.
She nods, walking over to one of the stewards and pointing out which books she'd like him to gather together for me.
Satisfied, I turn and depart, eager to leave the dismal sight of the ruined conclave behind me. These volumes, coupled with the books taken from the Cabal in Dunmar City, should prove a good place for me to start my research.
The first thing I do upon returning to the academy is take a bath. The warm, soapy water does wonders for my mind and body, the steam filling me with comforting heat. After a full day of crawling through dust-choked tunnels, and after spending so long in the wastes without proper facilities, the soak feels heavenly. Part of me wishes I could sink beneath the surface and disappear forever. When I'm out and properly dressed, reality sets in, a hollow sensation settling in the pit of my stomach. Sitting in front of the desk in my old dormitory, I regard the stacks of tattered books with a look of grim determination. They're accompanied by the ones I'd taken from Dunmar City. True to Talon's word, they were waiting for me when I arrived. Steeling myself, I pick up the first book from the library stack, a ponderous tome with water-damaged pages. The title is stamped into the leathern gold leaf. Discourse of the Arcane. Pulling it open, I begin to read. The evening deepens into night, the sun setting and pitching my dormitory into darkness. Without the comforting glow of the Arc of Radiance, the city feels black, oppressive, like the world itself has been devoured by shadow. Candles flicker on the desk and in sconces on the wall, filling the room with a soft, if wavering, light to read by. Blinking blearily, I close yet another book and lean back in my chair, blowing out a weary breath and rubbing together my dust-covered hands in irritation. Another dead end, I think, frustrated. Did nobody think to keep adequate records? From what I've learned from the other mages, Magister Roth's experts are having a hard time recreating the spell for a new Heart of Light. Though I'm sure they're hard at work trying to solve the problem, I have doubts about their ability to find an answer in time. The best experts were all killed, I think, remembering Professor Laramie's smiling face with a pang of sadness. Even they couldn't figure out how to repair the Arc of Radiance. How can we expect to create a new one altogether? Nothing in these books, including the pages gleaned from the Academy's diminutive collection, contains useful information regarding the Arc of Radiance or the Heart of Light. The records are nothing more than hearsay and anecdotes, passive observations, rather than scientific facts. The secrets of the artifice seem to have died with the mages who conjured it, Sophronia Kent and the Circle of Ancient Times. How they managed to create the Ark remains a mystery, even to this day. This may just be impossible, I think, despair threatening to flood my mind. We have a source crystal. We have all the magical talent in the world. But what we lack is time. Time and knowledge. Closing my eyes, I offer a small prayer to the light. Please help me, I whisper, as honestly as I've ever prayed before. Help me to know what to do. So many people are depending on the mages, depending on me. I cannot fall short again. I'm so afraid. I open my eyes, now suddenly wet with tears.
The dread is suffocating. I find it difficult to breathe. I wring my hands in my lap, swallowing against the lump in my throat, shying away from the memories that creep into my mind. Dead wastelanders, demon attackers, failed promises. I want to curl up on my bed, cry myself to sleep, forget the world, and sink into oblivion. Everyone's going to die because of you. You're young, foolish. You're not a mage. You're a failure, Zara.
No!
The objecting thought is so clear, like the ringing of a silver bell. It banishes the shadows and pulls me into a tight embrace, warmth flooding my entire body with a radiance like magic. I take a deep breath, suddenly relieved.
You can do this, Zara. You're not alone. Don't give up.
All right, I say aloud, answering the comforting voice. I'm not sure if it's real or a figment of my imagination, but I sit a little taller in my chair, my eyes drifting to the desk in front of me with renewed focus. I decide to search for a new perspective, to shift away from reading the books from the library. Instead, I reach for those I'd borrowed from the Cabal. Although I've already skimmed through most of them, I seem to remember them containing radical new ideas, completely different from those of the Conclave. One particular volume catches my eye, a vaguely familiar book penned in the hand of Edna, one of the three mages who'd presided over the Nightingales, containing a long list of experimental spells she'd developed over the course of her life. I lay the tome in front of me and begin to leaf through it, scanning the text for anything that could be useful. There are many spells and theories, some more fleshed out than others. Many seem rather interesting, but not particularly useful for my present needs. Their effects range from mundane to outright destructive, with everything one could imagine in between. I'm about to move on and toss the book into the pile of partially cleaned rejects, when something inside catches my eye. A memory from before returning to me as I read the passage. The Radiant Incendiary, an explosive artifice designed for destroying demonkind. The idea came to me from a treatise on pre-doom history, which indicated that bombs made from radiant magic and source crystals were sometimes used in battle against the R'lyar. Such artifices were said to be unstable at best, though extremely effective. Needless to say, the text piqued my interest as a possible way to defend Dunmar City against an invading force. After years of trial and error, I believe I've found a way to duplicate what was referenced in the historical accounts. A source crystal, when imbued with the proper enchantments, can indeed become an incendiary device of considerable pyrotechnics. The results are spectacular, if a little underwhelming in effect. As is common knowledge in the magical realm of study, radiant energy itself is not dangerous to humans. Only when it's manipulated to create spells like mage fire does it pose a threat to people. The explosion of the artifice destroys the source crystal, and the energy blast, though spectacular, does little to harm those nearby. Due to lack of reliable source crystal and the ineffective nature of the explosion, I've determined this experiment to be a failure. The Nightingales are fighting men, not demons. Therefore, this spell serves no practical use at this place and time. Beneath the notes is a series of inscriptions and figures outlining how she was able to create the artifice. I glance over these with only the barest attention to detail. By the light, I think, amazed by what I'd just read. Perhaps I was thinking too defensively before. Perhaps we need to attack our enemies, rather than hide behind another shield. I remember reading this passage before. I shared it with Owen when we were prisoners behind the walls of Dunmar City. An idea that had once been only a passing thought now takes on an entirely new meaning. I should find a way to test the spell first, I think, growing more excited by the second. If it works, then maybe I'll still be able to use the source crystal in the wastes. I can record the blast radius, then do some calculations to see how far it can extend. That should give me a good idea whether a bomb would be a decent alternative to another arc. My mind is reeling, going over all the possible outcomes of such a daring experiment. The more I think about it, the more my heart races. "Thank you," I whisper, addressing the light directly. I look upward and smile. "Thank you for your help." No answer comes, of course, but I smile all the same. If this works, we should be able to destroy the demons for good, ridding our world of their threat forever. It would be the greatest magical feat of all time. First things first, I think, picking up a pen. I need to organize a test.